typically associate with church. Thank you. And if you will allow me about 10 minutes to lay a foundation, I'm probably not going where you think I'm going, okay? So if you just kind of hang in there with me for a few moments' time so I can do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity, which can be translated love. What you do matters, the attitude you do it with. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have, and here's the word we don't typically use in church settings, but I think it's very valid for tonight, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of saints. They made a conscious choice to do this. Then he says that ye submit yourselves unto such, to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. He said, find somebody that's doing something and follow them. Don't follow the person who's not doing anything and not going anywhere. Okay? I'm glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunus and the chaos, for that which was lacking on your part they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit. Thank God for people like that. Some people just seem to suck all the joy and happiness right out. Thank God for people you can get around, and when you leave, you feel refreshed and full of joy and contentment, and you feel good. He said, they've refreshed my spirit. The churches of Asia salute you, and Aquila and Priscilla salute you. Much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. And then down to verse number 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, which means cursed, Maranatha, which means the Lord cometh. One translation says, if anyone does not love the Lord, that person is cursed. The Lord Jesus is coming. And I would like to just give you a few moments to get a foundation, some facts. I would like to draw your attention to that 15th verse of 1 Corinthians. This household had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The question becomes tonight, what are you hooked on? What is it that you're addicted to? You may be seated. Subtitle for what I'm going to say tonight is, if it helps you hang on to it, I can't help myself. I just can't. I cannot help myself. This world is full of, and I want to just establish some facts and then make them applicable to what we're going to talk about tonight. People with addictions will do anything to satisfy that addiction. There's nothing that's outside the bonds, the boundaries of that. Despite everything, there are addictions of chemicals with alcohol and cigarettes. 20% of all inpatient hospital stays are alcohol abuse. Tobacco is still responsible for 1 in 5 deaths in this country. There are chemical addictions. There are emotional addictions. There are some people who just have to be critical of others because they are addicted to feeling their own pain and they want somebody else to feel it with them. And you can't hardly get a kind, positive word out of them. There are those who are kleptomaniacs. That's somebody who goes into a store, has plenty of money in their wallet, but they still steal. Been numerous rich people, famous people who have been arrested for stealing things. They are kleptomaniacs. They're addicted to this, the thrill, the rush, the feeling that they get out of that. Then there's the pyromaniac. Now I wish we had a bunch of those around here. A pyromaniac is somebody who sets fires. Just hold on to that thought till we get to where we're headed. Then there are folks who are addicted to gambling. My sister, who does not know the Lord, went to Vegas. She got ready to leave. She had just her bus ticket home back to the airport. She said, but there was a guy sitting on the curb crying because in his mind, he said, I just lost everything. All my money, the house, the business, it's all gone. Then there are folks who are anorexic and all that. They cannot control that which controls them. The addictions can, different sorts can cause brain damage. It can cause impairing learning, organ damage, increased risk of diseases, accidents, suicide. Oh, one of them that I missed. You know one of the biggest addictions in America today? Shopping. It is the largest participation sport in America, legally identified. It is also an addiction. There's something empowering about having the ability to gather things together. There are countless facts that I could give you tonight about things that have to do with addiction. But can I tell you that in spite of all the stats, all the facts, all the figures, it doesn't slow anybody down. It doesn't matter how much you can put in the head. Somewhere you got to get it in the heart. Somewhere it's got to get in the spirit of what the person is before it'll actually change. 2 out of 3 of those found in addiction in America today found some sort of abuse as a child. Mom, Dad, there's a powerful influence that you have on your kids. Use it wisely. Don't squander it. All of these things today, they tell us that it's there. Our country's in rampant with it. But can I tell you the one place that we need addictions? Is here. These folks were addicted to the ministry. They couldn't help themselves. Charlie, don't ever stop walking around here. When the Holy Ghost begins to move, something just says, I'm addicted to this. I can't let go of this. I want to start a fire somewhere in my spirit and a fire somewhere in the church of the living God. I want to see something happen, so I just can't help myself. How did it happen? The Apostle Paul talks about his sacrifice and all that happened to him. He writes and he says, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. He was so hooked. He was so addicted to the ministry of the saints. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight because the folks that ought to hear this probably aren't here. So buy him a tape or something. Send it to him. Church time, the clock's running. It's getting closer. The person with an addiction says, man, I get nervous if I start thinking about not going. I can't hardly stand the idea of missing. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know what's going to happen when we get there. I don't know who God is going to have baptized. I don't know who's going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I don't know who God's going to deliver. And so when the clock starts running, something happens on the inside and you begin to feel like, I dare not miss the house of God. Something begins to happen on the inside of me that says, I've got to go to where God's house is. I'm addicted to this thing. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. He said, God needed somebody to do something. I couldn't help myself. I sat down and I reasoned with myself and I gave myself all the reasons why I shouldn't, all the reasons why I can't, all the reasons why it won't work out for me, why my schedule won't allow it. But something on the inside of me said, I'm addicted to the ministry of the saints. I've got to do it whether all the reasoning in the world allows me to come to a conclusion. The truth is, something inside of my heart says, I've got to do something for him. And so Isaiah stands up in the middle of all of that and says, here am I. Don't ever stop driving a vehicle, Brother Potter, you and Brother Weimer. They travel an hour and a half before service. They get here at 8:30 to leave. Now that doesn't make any sense unless you've got a good addiction. They show up with a smile. and a cup of coffee and a donut. Whatever it takes, that's it. And drive around, pick up folks. Don't know who they're going to get. Am I going to Fredericktown? Am I going to Howard? I don't know how they get their list, but something, never have to worry about them. Somehow it's inside of them. There's this addiction of, I got to bring somebody to the house of God. If this is what my calling is, this is what my ministry is, this is what I'm going to do. I'm addicted to the ministry of the saints. The Bible says that those apostles and those disciples of the Lord, that when they went forth, they turned the world upside down. You don't do that if you're on a sedative and you can't hardly keep your eyes open. But if you have become, we need somebody that will be a pyromaniac, somebody who says, I won't let this service go by without touching the hem of his garment and seeing a little Holy Ghost fire fall and a little bit of a move of the Spirit inside of me and everybody who's here, because I'm not just here for myself. I'm here because there are other men and women that need to feel the touch of the Holy Ghost, and I'm the one that God will allow to touch him and bring it down to where we are. Somebody needs to light a fire. Somebody needs to get addicted to this thing. That I love it more than I love life itself. Jesus started off with one person, John the Baptist. Then he went to 12. And then he went to 70. And then he went to 120. And then the Bible says there were 3,000. And then there was 5,000. And then all Asia heard the word in 2 years. And today there are over 2.2 billion Christians on this globe, larger than any other religious group that exists in our day and age. Could I tell you that if you get a hold of this thing, it is addicting. It doesn't matter what it takes. It doesn't matter what I've got to do. I'm not going to sit down at the table and talk myself out of it, but I'm going to go to an altar and pray my way into it until it gets a hold of me and it absolutely controls who I am. The giant stood there defying Israel. When David shows up, he says, who is this guy? When he comes out, he says, listen, you come to me with spear and sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And while everybody else was hunkered down explaining why they couldn't defeat the enemy, while everybody else was saying he's too big, while everybody else was saying it can't be done, while everybody else was saying, let someone else do it, David said, I can't help myself. You can't talk to my God the way you're talking about Jehovah God Almighty. Just let me have a chance. I'm going to show you there's victory. There's deliverance. There's God who will give us what we need today. And David said, I can't help myself. You boys sit here if you want to, but I'm going to find a sling and a couple of smooth rocks, and I'm going to bring victory to the nation of Israel because I can't help myself. I know he's bigger than me. I know I'm busy. I know I've got things going. I know all this going on. But I refuse to allow life to crowd into my godly addiction for the kingdom of heaven. I want it to control me. I want it to determine who I am and what I do. The Bible says when there was trouble in Israel, and there was turmoil, and everybody else was fussing about this and fussing about that. I have learned one thing. People who fuss a lot don't get a lot done. Have you ever noticed that? They just don't accomplish much. And while everybody was fussing, the Bible says there was a guy by the name of Joshua who departed not from the tabernacle. While everybody else was fussing and squabbling, Joshua said, man, I can't help myself. I know I ought to be out here talking and chewing the fat, but I can't help myself. I got to go to church, man. In fact, every time I have a problem, the first thing in my mind is I want to go to the house of God. I want somebody to pray for me. I want to get there with everybody else, and I want God to be able to help me and deliver me. And Joshua just said, I can't help myself. I would to God that there was a whole church full of people here that were so addicted to the kingdom of God, so in love. The Bible calls it a burden. Now, we can, if we want to use a modern Bible word, it's burden instead of addiction. But the bottom line, I'm so burdened, there is no way in the world I'm going to let this thing get out of my grasp. But in this last day before the Lord returns, I refuse to allow lukewarmness to crowd into my life and for me to make cold-blooded decisions with my head rather than my spirit and my heart. I want to make sure when the house starts finding itself fussing and squabbling that what I do is find my way to the house of God, and he departed not. It was still that God was going to make the decisions, and God was the ultimate decider of all that would take place in his life. Storms brewing, problems are there. Winds howling, rain's coming down, all that's going on. And so what does Peter do? He jumps out of a perfectly good boat. He saw what he thought was a ghost, an apparition coming. And then he said, if it be you, Lord, bid me to come. And he couldn't help himself. Jody, don't ever stop dancing before the Lord. Just can't help myself. Something about it, I just can't help it. When God moves me, we may all worship differently, but let me tell you, everybody's got to worship some kind of way. And so Peter just jumps out of a perfectly good boat, begins to walk on the water, because he said, I just can't help myself. When the choir starts singing, I can't help myself. I refuse to sit in mute silence. I am going to raise my voice. I'm going to magnify him. I'm going to glorify the Lord God Almighty. I just can't help myself. It gets a hold of me, and I can't stop it. See, when you're addicted, you don't care. When you're addicted, you'll do anything. When you're addicted, all you care about is satisfying that craving that you've got, whether it's physical, emotional, whatever. And when you are spiritually addicted, you don't care what it takes. Brother Tom Sheets is in Columbus with his brother Bob tonight. Bob had to go to the hospital. But if he was here, I'd tell him, Brother Tom, don't ever stop. The first one in the prayer room, every service that we meet there, is Tom Sheets. He's the first guy to come in. Brother Harper's right behind him normally. I can't help myself. I, when I come to church, I want something. I want God to be able to deal with me. I can't help myself. I got to go to the prayer room and get my heart straight and my spirit straight. I can't help myself. This feeling gets a hold of me. When Nehemiah built a wall and rebuilt Jerusalem, it was with a sword in one hand and a trowel in another. It'd have been a whole lot easier to say, you know, I think I'll just stay home and watch the game. Wait a minute, whoa, that wasn't in there. That must have been a word from the Lord, direct from heaven. He said, I'm going to build this wall. And all the reason, in fact, the people came down, tried to stop him, and they wanted to take him. I love God's got a great sense of humor in some of this stuff. God's word says they took him, wanted him to go down to the plain of Ono. And so Nehemiah, when he got ready to build the wall, and they wanted him to go down with them, he said, no, oh no, oh no. Not even going there. Oh no, I'm not going there. I can't help myself. There's a wall that needs to be built. There's some work that needs to be done. There's a Sunday school class that needs to be taught. There's some things that need to be accomplished. And I can't help myself. It's got to get done. This is God's house. This is God's kingdom. This is God's place. I'm going to do whatever I've got to do. I refuse to live for God with my head when it's my spirit that he wants. So Hezekiah could offer thousands of animals for the dedication or the Passover. Somebody said, Hezekiah, why in the world would you sacrifice that way? Why would you do that? It's just, I can't help it. I'm hooked. I'm dedicated. I'm addicted. I just can't stop myself. Something says, I refuse to give to God that that which cost me nothing. I refuse to offer up a flimsy little sacrifice when what I want to give is my all in all to Him. I'm just hooked on this thing. I've been doing this since I was ninth grade. How old are you in the ninth grade? Come on, somebody ought to know. 14 or 15. In Texas, where everybody's big and bad. Just ask them. Went to church. From that day to this, I cannot even begin to fathom what it was like, would be like, not to live for God. I'd get nervous if it didn't make the prayer. I'd get nervous if it don't make church. Or I'd get nervous if I'm like David of old, and the ark, the presence of the Lord is going to be there. And David knew that, and so they're marching with the ark. And you know the story. He'd march a little ways, offer a sacrifice, march a little further, and then he'd dance before the Lord. And somebody said, I think that's a little much. I think you're doing a little, let's keep this nice and dignified. I don't know anybody who ever got delivered being dignified. Just haven't. Maybe somewhere in the face of this earth somebody has. But I have never met anybody that was being dignified. I remember, y'all taping this, when Brother Vernon got the Holy Ghost, he had been coming to the altar for quite some time, and he was so precise. I gave up on him. I just went to my office, and as I'm in the office, all of a sudden things started getting louder and louder. And I thought, what's going on? I came out, and there was Brother Vernon at the altar, not here, but the old Chestnut Street. And they would gather around him, and I don't know what happened to him, but all of a sudden, I mean, he's praying and crying, and God just fills him with the Holy Ghost. My dad is at Furman University. He was working there after he got out of the military. And my dad's an old Army sergeant. He went through World War II, he went through all the major battles. He went across Africa. He went into Sicily. He went into Normandy. He was at the Battle of the Bulge. He was liberated one of the concentration camps. All that kind of business going on. And he was an old, tough Army sergeant. I saw him tear up one time when his dad, my grandpa, died. Just got a little teary-eyed. But when he got that Sunday night, and I don't have time for the whole story, but that Sunday night, when God spoke to his heart, he came to the altar. He prayed and cried until he told me later. I wasn't there. I was in college. Dad said, when I got home, I could still wring the sweat out of my T-shirt. Didn't get the Holy Ghost. Tuesday, he said, I went to the altar. I prayed. When I got home, I wrang the sweat out of my T-shirt. On Wednesday morning, he said, I got up feeling different, went to work. People would come into the service department, Mr. Kramer, I need this, or whatever it was. He said, I couldn't talk right. He said, everything came out jumbled. He finally went into the dark room, part of the service department, and he said, it dawned on me what was happening. And he comes back out. He gets on the phone. He calls Brother Seacrest, which was his pastor. Brother Seacrest comes over to Furman University. He prays through at Furman. If you're hungry enough, if you're addicted enough, if you want it bad enough, I'm telling you, God can do it, whatever your situation. But you've got to first get addicted to this thing. He never turned around. He never backed up. But he lived for God from that day on in his life. There was a guy who was blind from birth. Everybody tried to talk him out of why it wasn't good. If you get too involved, you just might mess up. I've never met anybody who got too involved and messed up. I've met a lot of folks who just kind of horsed around and weren't completely dedicated, and they did. But I don't know how you can get too involved. I don't know how you can do too much for God. I don't know how you can do too much for the kingdom. I don't know how you can do too much for the lost souls. I don't know how you can do too much for being able to take this gospel and scatter it around the world. But they were trying to convince him this wasn't for you. And all he said was, it's a great thing. Living for God can be so simple. He just says, I don't know. All I know is I was blind, now I see. I don't know. All I know is I was lost, but now I'm found. All I know is that I was laden down with sin, but now I'm free. I can't explain it. I don't have the answer. But I am telling you, it just works that way. When you get addicted to this thing and you can't stand it any longer, and you just say, I can't help myself. I've got to do it. The demonic, Jesus specifically told him when he got delivered, go and tell nobody. The Bible says he went and told everybody. I'm telling you, when you get hooked on this thing, you just can't stop it. You can't help yourself. It just happens. Now, people look at us Christians and they think we're crazy. I think they're nuts. I can't help myself. I want to be in God's house. I never have understood that whole mindset of, I gotta go. No, I'm here because I know what God can do. I know that I want to worship because I'd feel bad if I didn't. I'd feel like I'd miss something. Everybody needs to have a ministry somewhere where they do something for God. And if you're addicted, you'll do whatever it takes to satisfy that addiction. If you've got a hunger, an addiction, a burden, call it whatever you want to call it, for God, you'll do something. You can't just wait and do nothing. It just eats at you and it gnaws at you until I got to do something. Now, having said all that, if you'd turn the corner with me for just a moment, and I know that the church has been very kind to me and has allowed me to participate in what's going on tonight. But I would like to just say that Pastor L.J. Harry and Andrea Harry are about as hooked as anybody I've seen. They have the vision, and they make the sacrifice because they are addicted to the ministry. They are impacting our church, our community. I appreciate this church recognizing me tonight, but I want this thing to focus on him and his wife for the next little bit. She's a wife. She's a mother. She does the music. She does helps with the food bank. She does recovery. She does ladies' prayer. She's a hostess. She's a worship leader. She's an example of a godly woman, and she's kind but spirited. I'm getting more sensitive in my old age. See? He's impacting our church and community. It's so much fun to go with him because you can go anywhere. It doesn't matter if it's post office or TSC or whatever it is. And we're walking in. I'm with him. He's just, everybody's saying, hey, LJ, how you doing? Who's he? I think there was three people came up that day at the post office. I believe it was where we were at. Before we could get in and get out, they're going, hey, LJ. Everybody knows LJ. And above that, everybody likes LJ. His life, he's preached across America, across the world. He goes other places because his ministry is valuable. He spends a lot of time in sermon preparation. He's the editor of the Ohio News. He was the previous Ohio youth president. The only reason he's not now is because he's too old. Just too old. He's a computer nerd. He can fix, repair, correct, straighten out, and do in 60 seconds what I can do in 2 hours. Nobody is friendlier and more well-known than L.J. Harry. He's an author. He's sensitive. He's empathetic. And I promise you, these two are hooked on the kingdom. They are dedicated. to what's going on. And before we go back there, I'd like for Brother Sister Harry to come here. Stan, we're going to pray that their addiction gets worse. I promise you, he has had more opportunities, and I've got fingers on my hand. If they did not want to be here, they have lots of opportunities to make a whole lot more than what he's making here. But they're here because this is where their heart's at. This is where their burden's at. This is where they have an addiction. Love to hear him talk about you folks in the church and all that good stuff. If you around him very much. But somebody has got to share that addiction with them. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray for them. We're going to pray that they get more addicted, and if you're not addicted, that you get addicted. And if anybody listens only a few words out of this tape, we're in trouble because they take it out of context. But I would like for some of the men come up here, some of the ladies come up here. This is a month where they've set aside to honor our pastor. We're going to pray for him. We're going to pray for her. We're going to believe that the love, the burden, the addiction they've got for the kingdom and for this church is going to grow. It's going to drive them. Whatever it is that happens, it's, I can't help myself. I've got to do this. I've got to preach these messages. I've got to go into all the world. I've got to reach Mount Vernon. I've got to reach those other folks that I've gone to and prayed for. I pray right now that you'd lay your hand on both of them. God, that in this service tonight, that the hand of the Lord would move. God, that you would drive us. Something on the inside would get so compelling, so powerful, Lord, so moving in our lives that somehow or another as we stand here tonight, that God, there would be a desire that gets a hold of us. There would be a hunger that would get on the inside of us. There would be, Lord, an addiction to this thing that I will do anything. Go anywhere, be anything I've got to be, whatever it takes for the kingdom to be blessed, whatever it requires for the kingdom, Lord, to progress and see sons and daughters born in the kingdom, whatever is required of me, whatever sacrifice has to be made, whatever has to be done in my life, in my home, God, we want to move with the Holy Ghost. We want you, Lord, to set us afire. Make us a flame. We want revival to come. We want sons and daughters to pray through. We want a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. We want the power of God to fall. I want to see men, women, families come into the kingdom of God and be ushered in. And God, that you would trouble us. Trouble us at night. Trouble us when we try to do it in our head rather than our spirit and our heart. I pray right now in Jesus' name that, Lord, it would get a hold of us. God, that nothing would be more important, God, than our commitment and our burden to the kingdom. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, Lord, lay your hand in a mighty way upon them and upon this church. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that it would happen here in this house tonight. Lord, bind our hearts together. Unite us, Lord, in one accord. Let it be, God, that we are here, God, sharing, Lord, our love for the kingdom and for what the Holy Ghost is going to do. Hallelujah. God, I thank you tonight. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Hallelujah. Set us afire. God, burn something on the inside of us. There's so much that needs to be done. Hallelujah. So much, God, that needs to be done, that can be done. I pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Shotohu tamaha. Hallelujah. In the name that's above every name right now. Lord, we're trusting that you're going to do that, Lord, which is a sovereign, solitary move of the Holy Ghost, not something we do, God, not a program that we have, not an expansion of our giftedness, but, Lord, just an open window in heaven that's poured out upon us. I pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, in the name that's above every name, Lord, that it's going to happen even right now, that God, somebody's going to find that access into the glory of God and open the door and the window of heaven for the blessings of God to flow into this house tonight as we stand here praying one with another, that God, you said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, we have come here tonight, God, believing and trusting and knowing that you and you alone, God, are the source of all that happens in our lives. That you alone, God, are the source of revival. You alone, God, do the miraculous and the supernatural. You alone, God, are able to deliver. You alone are able to fill and God, set free by the Holy Ghost. We are trusting for those things tonight, knowing, Lord, knowing in whom we have believed, knowing, God, in who you are. Knowing that, God, we're just your sons and daughters and just your kids, and we're believing you for all these things tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't normally tell people this, but I hope every one of you gets addicted before you leave here. To those good things, those right things, to the kingdom of God, to his house, to his body, to this. I do not know how they're doing this tonight. Jana, where are you? Just go. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing this event with us. Thank you for honoring our pastor and his wife. We're going to just go through these doors. They've got it set up, and they'll tell us what we need to do when we get back there. We're on our way.